We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven and I am the host. No fireworks for the double thumbs up for Tyler. I guess that's only a Steven thing. I don't know. Maybe a heart thing? We'll see what happens. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Dude, I was hoping I'd be able to figure that out. And someone in the comments told me that's how you do it. I guess it doesn't work for me. I don't get thumbs up or fireworks. So give it a shot. Good for you, Steven. Heart at all.
Back to back times. I guess it's you got to lock in the elbows nice and tight. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Elbows in. Got to like extend, press out. Stack and shed here.
Stack and shed. There you go. Yeah. No, it's been a good day, man. I was kind of swamped at work, but so I caught the combine in glimpses here and there. But it was fun to see all the quotes. You know, Thursday is the best day of the combine because it's the first time where you get all the quotes and then also the testing. And so, you know, we had the edge rushers, the defensive tackles, and the linebackers today. It was a ton of fun seeing everybody. And, man, Dallas Turner, Braden Fisk, Peyton Wilson, salute to you. Just, like, crushed the testing today.
It's not fair that, like, Tavondre Sweat, I know he didn't run the blazing fast 40 time.
But he's still
366
really fast.
Pounds. It's faster than I could probably run. He's a good 366, so... These guys, I don't know how you play quarterback in the NFL when these guys are this big, this strong, this fast. I don't get how you play offensive line anymore in the NFL. It just seems impossible. How do you go block some of these guys every single rep? I have no idea.
Yeah, we're going to highlight, you know, biggest combine winners on Monday for the Chargers. But, you know, to your point, like, you know, Darius Robinson from Missouri weighs in at 285 and is – size-wise like the 99th percentile, and he runs like a 4.9 or whatever, and it's like, man, that's super slow. I'm like, what? He's 285 pounds.
I know. I couldn't believe it. Everyone's like, oh, he's really slow, he ran a 4.9. like, are you kidding me? I'd love to do that 100 pounds lighter. I can't do
yeah.
that
yeah no it's a lot of fun though. I love combine week. The biggest the most impactful from a physical testing standpoint, like we've said, is obviously corner and wide receiver. Those are more so where you're gonna get, like, You know, if Kool-Aid McKinstry runs like a 4.5, or if, you know, Roman Wilson runs like a 4.7, like, that impacts things, how they grade out. And obviously, if Keenan Allen had run a 4.6, he probably would have been a second round pick instead of a third round pick. So it's a lot of fun. Our usual Chargers episode is going to be dropping tomorrow. So hopefully you guys check that out. Actually, I think the audio is already up for those who listen to the audio side of things. But we are we spent the week highlighting free agent targets and going over Joe Ortiz's introductory press conference. You're distracting me right now with the double thumbs up. But yeah, definitely check that out tomorrow. Free agency is a few short weeks away. And all right, We got Tyler doing this. Is distracting me. Like I have such bad ADD right now that this is bad for me. But yeah, free agency talk tomorrow on the Chargers channel. Please go check it out.
Yeah, fun stuff. I baited Steven into giving me the $10 million or less APY, and I certainly abused it for sure.
You know, we had a great conversation. If you're not in the Discord, you're missing out because there's been some free agency stuff from Alex Katzen, who has boots on the ground in Indianapolis. So you can join that on Patreon or through YouTube membership. So all the support there is appreciated. All right. Today's topic of choice is the cornerbacks. We'll see the cornerbacks test later this week. This is obviously a position of need for the Chargers. And we're kind of continuing the series here where we are addressing a position of need from the Chargers. We've done wide receiver. We've done offensive tackle as well. And so cornerbacks is the one we're doing this week. Edge rushers we'll highlight next week. Talking about who's on the team, maybe some free agency talk tonight, a little bit here and there. And then draft perspectives as well. So I think the biggest question mark when it comes to the 2023, you know, revisiting that conversation and projecting forward is obviously Asante Samuel Jr. He is playing on the last year of his rookie contract this upcoming season. The projection into Jesse Minter's defense, I think, is very interesting here. We've said this a few times. We've watched so much Michigan tape over the last 3 months. I think I've watched the Michigan and Wisconsin game like 17 times. I've watched the Michigan Washington game a bunch, Michigan Alabama, because of all these prospects. We obviously had Cody Alexander on. So Tyler, in terms of Asante and his fit with this defense, what kind of question marks do you have? How well do you see this working for him? Do you think that he can kind of shape himself into a Jesse Minter prototypical cornerback?
It depends, because we've never seen without Brandon Staley, Ronaldo Hill, I'm forgetting Derek Ansley coaching. So I don't know maybe what he looks like with a different coach, for example, like a Derwin James, we've seen excel and be different. Asante, not so sure. And I think watching Jesse Minter's defense and watching Josh Wallace, Mike Sanderstill, these guys from Michigan, I think he's like half and half what Michigan wants and then what they don't really love, but maybe he could get better with coaching. So the half that's good is the smarts and playing the football and being able to do multiple things and understand where the ball is going at multiple points in the field. We saw that like in the Raiders game when he flew out of nowhere to make that interception against Davante Adams. Like that sort of stuff is what Jesse Minter's defense would love to have. And they have corners that can do that. The half that isn't there so much is not just the tackling, like the missed tackling, that of course needs to be there. But, you know, like Mike Sanderstill, like his missed tackle rate isn't great, but it is really the willingness to go fly down the field and play the run and make run stops and make stops in the passing game. So even though Sanderstill maybe doesn't have like the greatest missed tackle rate, you can see all over the tape plenty of times where he's running down the field to knock somebody out. Josh Wallace, the corner that I've watched for Michigan, one of the lowest missed tackle rates, and he's always trying to play and the run, etc. I don't really know that's Asante Samuel Jr. So the pass coverage side of things and that mental aspect, I think, works for this defense. The way that Asante Samuel Jr. doesn't really play the run, I don't think really suits this defense as much. But then again, he will be the CB2, I think, this upcoming year. So maybe it doesn't matter as much, but I think it's something if he doesn't address this year, he's not going to be a significant contributor on this defense moving forward.
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the roster. Like, the Chargers have too many other needs to just be like, hey, Asante Samuel Jr., like, see you later. He's going to be on the roster. It's just a matter of, can he be maximized this season and earn himself a second contract as well? I think this fit in this defense, I think it's pretty easy to see, like, the pass coverage of Mike Sanders still in the slot and the pass coverage of Asante Samuel Jr. and seeing a lot of overlap there, obviously from a physical frame standpoint as well. But Sanders still is such an effective blitzer. He talked about today, you know, watching Mike Hilton, who's the best slot blitzing cornerback in the NFL, and modeling his game after him. And you can see that on tape. You see the tackling, missed tackles are going to happen, but you can live with the, like you said, the missed tackles, as long as the mentality is there. Asante has a habit of dodging tackles. He makes business decisions, and, you know, cornerbacks in the NFL like to say we don't get paid to tackle, but at the end of the day, like, it does matter if you're not Jalen Ramsey, if you're not you know, Marcus Lattimore, if you're not these kind of elite cornerbacks, if you're a supporting corner, you have to tackle in the NFL. Otherwise, you can find cornerback twos who can cover all over the place. In order for you to truly like make your mark, you have to tackle. And we've seen glimpses of Asante being able to do it. It's just the willingness, the mentality. Can that change? I think, yes, it can, but he hasn't shown it yet. As a rookie, I think you see the alpha mentality. That's really like the best season we've seen in terms of that mentality showing up. And then just last season, I think, was kind of tough for him. It was tough for a lot of Chargers defensive players. If 2023 Asante Samuel Jr. shows up in 2024, then he's not going to be on the roster in 2025. If the Chargers can get him back to what he was as a rookie and maybe like the first half of his second season, that guy can stick on the Chargers, but he's got to get back to that form. Otherwise, he's in real danger of going elsewhere.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he can do it. I think he certainly has the talent and the tools to be able to do it. Whether he does, we'll see. But that defense, I mean, I can't remember the last time a defense for Michigan, for example, the one I'm talking about, I can't remember the last time a defense won the national championship, was one of the best defenses in football, and not a single player is projected to go in the first round. It's because they all work together. It's a hive. They're all working together. It's the scheme. Yeah. Everyone's working towards the scheme. And so hopefully Asante Samuel Jr. can be a positive part of that. Otherwise, they would rather just find an individual who maybe isn't as talented or highly drafted, but they fit the scheme better. But we'll see. He's definitely not off the roster. Like, we were definitely not saying that he's off the roster this year by any means. He brings so much other good stuff. But I think we have to, and we're going to talk about it, invest in corner early, because you can't rely on him to be CB1 this year. And I don't think you can rely on him to just turn it around and be an elite corner this year and moving forward.
Yeah, I think even at his best, he's not a CB1. Like, I think at his best, he is that CB2. There was that great interview that just came out from Haley Elwood with Jesse Minter. One of the things that Jesse Minter spoke about is that, you know, it's 50% what you call, but it's 50% how you play. And it's the mentality, it's the style, it's the toughness. And that doesn't mean always that you have to tackle. If Asante can get back to that alpha mentality, he can definitely carve out a role with this team. And I would trust Jesse Minter to be able to figure out what that would look like. I guess my last question regarding Asante is, like, there was always that thought of like, hey, like, let's test Asante out in the slot. And then it never happened. It was always like, oh, he's an outside guy. I am curious, in this defense with Jesse Minter, would he prefer two bigger, more physical outside corners and then put Asante in the slot? Or is it just kind of easier for them to, and I guess we can talk about this as well, maybe easier for them to find a slot corner veteran market or something like that, leave Asante where he's comfortable and try and maximize him there. So there's always been that idea of Asante in the slot. Maybe that comes to fruition this year. Maybe it doesn't. That is kind of a curiosity I'm interested in seeing as well for Jesse Minter.
I would definitely have to look at the size profiles of some of these guys. It's such a small sample size. We don't have tons of years of McDonald with the Ravens. Don't have a ton of years with Minter and the Michigan right. Wolverines. So tough to say. Asante Samuel Jr. only has one pass rush rep his entire career so far in the NFL. Doesn't mean that he can't do it. We literally have no idea, but that's the thing. Like, we don't really know, and they have to bring that. On the flip side, as you mentioned, like Derwin James, that could be the rotation. That is how Derwin James could be effective as the slot guy. So I don't know if you need Sant to be able to blitz a lot, because that's what Derwin can do. But at the same time, maybe they want someone who can do it a little bit better, a little bit more, or has done it before.
Yeah, I think Derwin obviously going to factor in heavily in how they play the slot. I don't think he's going to be like a full-time slot corner by any means, but I think he is going to play in the slot more frequently than we saw previously. I think Jesse Minter spoke about, like, they want Derwin to do what Derwin does well. And one of the things Derwin does really well is play the slot. So I think that is going to factor in a little bit here. Maybe that minimizes the need in terms of the slot. And I think there is some aspect of, like, Brandon Staley wanting, you know, a true cornerback one, and then the other guys kind of rotate in and out alongside Derwin. I think some of that is going to carry over with Jesse Minter, just based off of, like, how we've seen him, you know, coach defense at Michigan, how we've seen Mike McDonald coach defense in Baltimore. They've always had kind of three guys at who at any moment can kind of change positions, and maybe that helps Asante carve out a role between outside slot and kind of eases the pressure a little bit too.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly what the snaps were, but you know, when you talk about Kyle Hamilton, you talk about Geno Stone, Marcus Williams, they gave a big contract to him, obviously. Don't know if they regret that or not, but he played his own like 500 snaps for Baltimore last year as like the third most snaps at safety. So there's definitely going to be a rotation there, whether it's safety, whether it's corner, we'll see. But they really have a blank template. They really just have the two guys. It's Derwin, it's Asante. The rest they can do as they wish. And I'm really curious to see how they do that.
Yeah, totally. I think we're on the same page regarding the other corners on the roster. Jahzir Taylor, Dean Leonard, likely best suited for backup and special teams roles. Although I do think that Dean Leonard showed some fun flashes, at least at the tail end of the season, filling in for Michael Davis.
Yeah, I would agree. I genuinely believe second half of this year, start of next year, Dean Leonard could work his way into an actual role. I just don't know if I want to bet my season on that just yet.
Right. Right. So essentially the Chargers need two starting corners, and we'll have that conversation tonight. Let's discuss. We talked a little bit about free agency. Is this a draft problem for you, or is this one or both, or is this free agency? Like, in terms of an ideal scenario for adding to the cornerback position, what's your thought process and how the Chargers address those two starter roles?
Yeah, I think I don't know what comp I have for like another low price veteran free agent from a previous year there would be, but I do think the Chargers got to find one low priced veteran corner in free agency. Like, let's pretend you have that veteran guy and Zont, and those are your two outside corners. I don't believe that'll actually be the case by the time the draft is over, but you got to have somebody. There's just not enough corners on this roster right now. Not enough starting caliber ones. So I think you got to get one. Obviously, they can't afford a really expensive guy. I don't really think they need to. And then I think in the draft, I'm genuinely at the point where I believe that if this corner class shakes out the way I've currently been watching it, if you take two in the first three rounds, I'd get it. Like, I would genuinely understand why they would do it, because they're very, very good and very, very talented. So I think the Chargers should double dip at corner. One in the first two rounds, probably, if they just go with one low price veteran free agency. And then one, maybe even round three, round four. Like, I think they got a double dip in the draft early.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think my ideal scenario for the Chargers and a cornerback is double dipping through the draft, as well as adding a veteran free agent in terms of just bringing in some competition here. I look at like what the Kansas City Chiefs did. They added three cornerbacks in 2021. I don't think the Chargers would have to trade down a few times to be able to do that. But they took Trent McDuffie in the first round and then Joshua Williams in the fifth round, I believe. Maybe that's the second and the fifth, or the second and the fourth for the Chargers. Maybe that's the first round. We don't necessarily know. But I agree. I think cornerback is definitely a position where you double dip early. And so for me, like the best case, like, when I envision the Chargers cornerback room, like Asante's a free agent, right? You maybe add a cheap veteran here. Those two guys that you draft ideally are your cornerbacks of the future in some capacity, whether it's outside slot going forward. And then you can kind of, you know, add a free agent, keep Asante next year. But those two rookies, I think, are going to play crucial roles for this team. And I think you look at, in terms of free agents, like a Ronald Darby type who was in Baltimore, makes a lot of sense. He's a longtime veteran. He's going to be 30, so he's not obviously at the peak of his performance, but he played some good ball for the Baltimore Ravens last year. He can play outside, play inside. You mentioned Jordan Lewis. There's not a ton of like cheap quality corners out there. Maybe Emmanuel Mosley type, 1 year, $4 million, according to Brad Spielberger. So that's the kind of range I think you're looking for. You're looking for somebody who can play outside and inside and be able to give them some flexibility heading towards the draft.
I guess only because we didn't specifically talk about him yet. We are feeling Jahzir Taylor is just special teams only. We don't believe that.
Yeah, I think when you get future. Yeah, I think when you get benched for Isang Bassey, that probably tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
I know that Brandon Staley and Derek Ansley were very high on Jahzir. Like, I think once the coaching change happened and everything, it was pretty clear, like, they were going to go with Isang Bassey. So, maybe that's still in there, but they gave him the entire season basically to earn a real role for them, and he was not able to capitalize on that. So, like, it was the first week of training camp, they were like, oh, like, Asante's in the slot, and then we're doing, like, the Michael Davis, JC Jackson stuff, and but then after, like, the first week, it was like, Jasir Taylor's our starting slot. Like, that was it. And then he never really, like, backed that up. So, I do think that it's you have competition. I don't think you just outright rule it out, but I think he is best suited at this point for a special teams role. He's an awesome special teams player, and so is Dean Leonard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can still carry value on the Chargers in that role, but I don't think he did enough for me to be like, yeah, like, let's consider him as starter.
Okay, I agree.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, let's pin this as a draft conversation here. In terms of the cornerback class, you mentioned here a little bit. Like, heading into this process, it was like, oh, there's no Sauce Gardner. There's no Devon Witherspoon. There's no Christian Gonzalez. There's no, like, blue chip guy. I've made my feelings clear about Terrion Arnold. I think he is a blue chip guy. Do you agree with my assessment or the narrative assessment? Where are you at, like, in general, at, like, the top of the cornerback class?
I think that so Terrion Arnold is my CB1, and I think followed by Wiggins, but we'll see. Like, we haven't had the combine yet, got to watch more games, but just on a preliminary, Arnold CB1. And I would not have him over, now granted, these were very good prospects, over Gonzalez, over Witherspoon, or over Joey Porter Jr. He would have been CB4 in last class for me. With that said, I had those three, like, in the top six of my board, so that's just kind of a me thing. And me liking those corners last year. And I really believed in those, really the top four or five in that class. I believe that Arnold is, it depends on how you view blue chip. It depends on where the grade is. He has a first round grade for me. So there's at least that. But I think, great question from Ben. What's the definition of a blue chip guy, guaranteed starter, all pro? I'll let you answer that first because you asked the question. But to me, he does have a first round grade from me, but I do like him more as a top 10 pick more than a top 5 pick, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. I think when I'm talking about a blue chip prospect, and you know, some people have this different, but I think when we first started this, we based a lot of our grading scale off of like what NFL Network uses, because they use the scales that the NFL scouts use, and it's a 1-8 scale. Basically, if you're an 8 prospect, you're the perfect prospect, which the only person that's come close to that is Penei Sewell for me. Marvin Harrison, Brock Bauer is very close as well. But a blue chip player for me is somebody with at least a 7.4 grade. And that's somebody that I see potential as a top 10 player at his position at some point down the road. And like, that is, I think, how you can kind of weigh it. It's a guy who flirts with all pro contention. It's a guy who's flirts with Pro Bowl contention. that's kind of a blue chip player. And I do see that in Terrence Arnold. Maybe I am overvaluing a little bit, but I think you see the movement skills. I think you see the fluidity. I think you see the tackling. I think you see the playmaking ability. You know, you watch Ladd McConkey tear up the SEC, and he struggled against Terrence Arnold. And I think Terrence Arnold has that kind of mentality. He talked today specifically about his mentality comparing to like his dad or his uncle being a roofer, and how his dad or uncle or whoever it was had to have the confidence that like they're on the roof, they're by themselves, they just have to get things done. And that's how he plays corner. He pretends that he's just on a roof, and he has that mentality to be on an island. I think there's so much to like there about Terrence Arnold and his mindset, the physical profile. We'll see about the physical testing. I can't imagine he's going to test poorly. I think he is going to test very well. But he checks every box for me. And so I know that there are some people who think like, you know, there's like some size limitations and things like that. I don't really see that personally. I think he plays like a 6'1" corner. Maybe he's 5'11". We'll see tomorrow. But I love Terrence Arnold's tape. For me, like I have him right up there with in terms of like the highest grades I've given out of any corner I've studied, right there with like Derek Stingley, with JC Horn. That kind of prospect for me is the corner guy I gravitate towards. And I'm a sucker for this kind of corner. And so Terrence Arnold for me does have a blue chip grade.
Okay. So if it's top 10 at some point in his career, then I think I would agree with that. You hope with a lot of these guys, right, that are first round.
It's all a projection.
Yeah, totally. If we're expecting like all pro, like which basically we're saying like the top, let's say five every year, maybe not so. But you know, teach their own. What I saw watching Arnold, no matter what, is that like I don't know that there's another player in this class, at least on defense, that I thought that's the perfect guy for the Chargers. Like I think Arnold definitely fits that for me. I don't think I thought of anybody else in this class. I've not watched everybody. I've got 63 players, so calm down if I didn't get the guy that you like. But yeah, like it was just perfect. The way he sheds, the way he plays the run, the physicality, the way he plays the ball. I was like, this is perfect. Like this is exactly what the Chargers need. Like I talked about, you know, you don't have to be a great tackler necessarily, although I think he is. But you got to go play the run. You got to be aggressive. And I think you have to be a part of a really strong system. And I think that Arnold absolutely did that.
Yeah, no, I think you look at what the Ravens type of defense is usually preferred at corner. I think there is a lot of parallels between Terrence Arnold and Marlon Humphrey. I think those two guys stack up pretty evenly. So I'm a huge fan of Terrence Arnold. I think in a normal class, I would be very comfortable taking him at five. The issue in this specific class is that there is three quarterbacks potentially in the top three picks, a generational wide receiver, and one who's very, very close behind him. So it's an interesting conversation of like where you're comfortable taking Terrence Arnold. I know that there's been a few conversations from like Lance Erline and Daniel Jeremiah about like trading down to eight and taking Terrence Arnold. For you, he's your CB1. You think he's a perfect fit. Where would you be comfortable taking him? If he was the guy the Chargers were targeting, what number of pick are you selecting him at?
Whew. Okay. So having not gone through all the edge rushers just yet, like I just got to Jared Verse. I was trying to just jump around to different parts of the draft.
Yeah.
I think the Falcons pick would be, I say that specifically because of the trade back area, but I think that's when you start to say, okay, I think that's where I'd take him. Because for me, he's either going to be the first or second best defender in this class for me. And so I think if you're looking about the eighth pick, I think you're feeling pretty good there as like the starting point for him.
Yeah. Great point too from Everett O'Neill. Terrence Arnold still is 20 years old. So a lot of room to grow there as well. I think eight would be comfortable for me depending on how the board plays out. Like,
yeah,
because of the Chargers needs, like, I think I still would prefer one of the wide receivers or even a Brock Bowers.
Me too. Yeah.
But if the Chargers trade down, like theoretically, I said this the other day, like the Bears to me make a lot of sense in terms of a trade down target, because the Bears are going to want to get one of the top wide receivers. So if you trade down to nine and those receivers are gone and I'm looking at Terrence Arnold or one of the tackles, I'm probably taking Terrence Arnold. Like that to me is where that starts. I think at eight, there's still a chance that Odunze is there, and I would still take Odunze over Therrien. But at nine, I think that's kind of where it starts. And it sucks because, like, I love Terrion Arnold. He's one of my favorite players that I've studied this year. But this class at the top with the wide receivers is just so stacked.
Yeah, so I guess I can clarify then. That's the spot I'd be comfortable taking Arnold. That doesn't mean I would be more comfortable taking him over Odunze or Bowers. Yeah. Or I think over the tackles. Yeah, over the tackles would be okay with.
Yeah. If the Chargers needed a left tackle, that'd be a different conversation. I would. If the Chargers needed a left tackle, I would take Olu over Arnold. But they don't need a left tackle. They need a right tackle, potentially. Mm-hmm. Any of the other first round corners to you that you feel like could be fits for the Chargers? I know like they'd have to trade down pretty significantly after that for me to entertain other cornerback talk, but can you see the vision of any other first round corner being a fit for the Chargers?
Again, the athletic potential of Quinyon Mitchell is fantastic. And what he can do as a cover zero, a zone coverage corner is wonderful. And I mean, truly the first few plays I watched of him, I was not a fan, but the more I watched, the better he got in the game too. Like I think there maybe was like a chess match there where early on he gave up a catch or two and the rest of the way he had it locked down. It's like, he was able to read and understand the receivers across from him. Really impressive. That said, the tackling is not great. I watched the Miami, Ohio quarterback duke him out of his shorts. And it's just not great. And again, the coverage is the most important thing, but going that high, you got to at least be able to play the run a little bit better. And while he has the tools to get there, there's plenty of him getting to the spot to make the tackle. I don't love the tackling. I don't love the missed tackle rate. Was not a fan there. Definitely not. Don't love that one. So like, I think a lot of these corners in a trade down, you know, you start to like them, of course, and like day two, round two, of course, they're fits with the Chargers, but like early, not necessarily. I would get why they do Kool-Aid. I get why they do, Wiggins. I don't know. Arnold is really the kind of the crown jewel for me.
Wiggins' profile would be interesting. I don't think Wiggins' profile fits for what this regime would want at corner. Like, he's super fast, and there's a lot of effort plays in there. There's a great play against North Carolina, if you haven't seen it, where Wiggins chased down a potential touchdown against North Carolina, and actually Peanut Tillman punched the ball out, and it was a touchback, and so he saved the touchdown. Nate Wiggins does a lot of fun things. Right now, he's probably where I lean for overall cornerback, too. But I think for the Chargers specifically, you're looking at either Alabama corner and maybe Cooper DeJean, because I think Cooper DeJean could fill various roles for you, because he could play the slot, he could play safety, he could play outside. Although I don't see like the fluidity from Cooper DeJean of the other players, although he is going to test very well, like his straight line runner, athleticism. It would be an interesting fit to see what he would do in this defense. And obviously the Chargers are very familiar with him because he played at Iowa.
Right. How would you liken Cooper DeJean to like Brian Branch from last year?
I would say probably he's a better athlete for sure.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a tight end cover guy. I think in that kind of role he would do really well. I think he's not as good of a blitzer, but I think in space he's probably a better tackler, as crazy as that sounds, because Brian Branch is amazing. But I think Branch is just like, he was so physical, he was like a hammerhead from the slot, and could also play safety. I think DeJean is just more finesse. He's more of a space and chase kind of player than run downhill and go make a tackle.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't love Cooper DeJean. I think he's 1, 2, 3, 4th for me as a corner, which is still really solid, good grade. But at that point, you're trading back a little further, in my opinion. Love to see him test, though.
Yeah, he's not going to test this week, unfortunately.
Right.
We'll see him test his pro day. He was on Feldman's Freak, so we know he's an athlete. He's a great punt returner. That was the other thing, is like, if the Chargers needed a punt returner, maybe you can kind of squeeze some value there, but there's it. They have an all-pro punt returner. He's an interesting player. I would have loved to see him do some more versatile things in college, but obviously at Iowa, you put your best athlete at corner. It makes a lot of sense. Let's pivot this conversation to round two, which I think is where they are probably going to be looking here. At one point in time, Quinion Mitchell was the belle of the ball at pick number 37. That doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. I think in the second round, you're looking at potentially TJ Tampa, Kamari Lassiter, maybe Kyrie Jackson from Oregon. That trio, there's a chance Ennis Rakestraw makes it there from Missouri. Of that group, who's your guy? Who do you like the most? Who do you see as the best fit there?
Okay, guy I like the most is Kamari Lassiter. I love guys that tackle, that are aggressive, play the run. Love Lassiter there. I think he's very physical. I think he plays the ball really well. He's my CB5 after Cooper DeJean. So I really do like him. But Kyrie Jackson is the new guy that I watched yesterday and was like,
oh, we watched him at the same time too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And I think the same is for Lassiter too. I love when there's good film and the numbers are good. And I think Jackson has a better size profile. I'm curious what he actually measures in at, but he's currently listed at like 6'3", 200, something like that. I really do like both of those guys. It's early. Like, I wouldn't go DJ James, but I do like DJ James quite a bit. Still early. He's projected in like the 90s. I don't think that's where he'll end up going. Although he is 164 pounds, according to Pro Football Focus, which is not great, but that's
the Auburn guy for those who don't.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. DJ James, Auburn guy. I think if you look at the numbers for the Alabama game, I think it's like 2 touchdowns, 110 yards. And that is a very misleading 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. One, I think, was busted coverage. It wasn't his fault. The other was that improbable Hail Mary in the corner of the end zone. You try to like rule out plays that are outlier plays. Like, how often is that going to be an issue? I don't think that's going to be a consistent issue for him. These Hail Mary once in every 10 years kind of plays. So I like him quite a bit. Not as much in round two, but probably like a round three kind of guy. Who else have I watched that I really liked? I mean, Sandra still, obviously. Obviously, Sandra still fits. There's an obvious fit there.
Copy-paste for sure.
Yeah, copy-paste, definitely. Again, it really just depends for me how much they are using Durward in the slot. If at all, is he strong safety? I have no idea what their plans are for Derwin.
Yeah.
So Sandra still like him a lot. There's a lot of really good corners in the second and third rounds.
Yeah, I think in the second round specifically, I think TJ Tampa is super interesting from the physical profile standpoint. I don't know, he's like 6'3". Like he's a big physical corner. I wish there were more tape out on there. I think there's two games on Caddy's cutups and they're both against shitty offenses. So it's really not a fun time. But like physicality is his thing. Length. He's to me a stereotypical like Gus Bradley corner. Like if the Chargers had Gus Bradley as their DC, I'd be like, that's the one. But I do think that there is some like awkwardness in terms of this specific fit. I like the fit a lot of Kamari Lassiter. Very instinctive zone coverage dropping, I think, is fantastic. There's some great reps of him dropping kind of to a kind of a cover two level and then coming up and making a tackle. I think the fit for Kamari Lassiter makes a lot of sense. Like Thomas Martinez said in the chat here, I am a little concerned about the long speed. I think he might be more of like a 4.5 guy. Not to say that that's a deal breaker by any means. 4.5 is still very, very fast. But I am like slightly concerned about that for him. So I think the fit's very clean. I think the best case scenario for me at 37 in terms of the corner is that Ennis Rakestraw makes it to 37. I think he's kind of the best combination of can play press man, can play zone, can tackle, can blitz. He's the corner for me at 37 that I would be most excited about. But Kamari Lassiter, I would be on board with. I definitely see the fit there.
Guess I got to watch Rakestraw. I have not watched Tampa because, like you said, there's all of two games to go off of, and YouTube doesn't count. I have not watched Rakestraw, which I guess I should have because Sikkema projected him to the Chargers. So, yeah, good to hear all those things. That sounds like a great fit.
Yes. Let me find the stat because I tweeted the stat earlier about it was like after we talked to Trevor about him, I was like, ooh, let me tweet this out.
I'll hype up Kyrie Jackson, I guess, while you're talking.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the best missed tackle rates, pretty good size, has 6 pressures and 2 sacks on 7 pass rush reps, which is pretty good. So Kyrie Jackson, for me, he's going to be a second round grade for me. I'm very much so in love with him.
Yeah, Kyrie Jackson, I'm a fan of as well. I think he plays the boundary extremely well. Even against Romo Dunze, he had some fantastic reps. And you've got to be able to take your lumps at corner. No cornerback is perfect. He definitely, like, he will talk your ear off and then lose a rep and then can get right back at you. So I like Kyrie Jackson a lot. I think size concerns, he's probably on the smaller side, but getting back to Ennis Rakestraw, Trevor Sikkema talked to us about like run defending corners. And so I went and looked at PFF. There were 2 cornerbacks from last season in this class that carried an elite run defense grade from the 2023 season, Terrion Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw. Arnold was also tied for 6th in most run defense tackles. He had 20 of them. And then Rakestraw had the 6th lowest average depth of tackle at 1.7 yards. And there's a rep of him against Georgia taking on a pulling guard, stacking and shedding him, and then making a play. Like, if you want a guy who tackles, Ennis Rakestraw is your guy. I like him. We like the same kind of corners. I'm pretty sure you're going to like him as well.
Okay. Sounds good. So another round 2 corner. That is pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Even if you disagree with me about Terrion Arnold, which I can understand, the depth of this cornerback class is fantastic. And I think it gives the Chargers some flexibility. I definitely want to see them take one on day 2 at worst case scenario, though.
Yeah. No, they, again, I'll have to see how many corners I really like from this day 2 class, but they can't leave day 2 without one of these corners. Frankly, I don't think they should leave the first 2 rounds without one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are some interesting day 3 corners right now too for them from a height, weight, speed aspect of things. Renardo Green from Florida State has one of the, perhaps the best tapes against an elite receiver, and what he did against Malik Nabers in week 1 last season. Definitely go watch that one. Cam Hart from Notre Dame, obviously the Notre Dame connection with O'Leary. So those are kind of the 2 guys. I think they're a little less fluid, a little bit more press man physical types of corners than probably the Chargers type, but they're fun. I like them a lot. And then Alex's guy, Max Melton. Have you watched him yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, so Max Melton, a lot of speed, a lot of ball skills. He's a willing tackler. It's not great, but he's a willing tackler. So he's kind of like the last resort for me, like 3rd round, let's go get Max Melton type of corner. And I think he can play the slot, can play outside, so that would fit too.
Yeah, that's great. Statistically, he's 34th out of 34 in missed tackle rate.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great, but he will tackle. He is willing to tackle, so...
He will speed bump.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Any other corner prospect that you have studied so far, Tyler, that you really like?
I think we've covered every name that I've watched at this point. I really did like Josh Wallace, who's way back in like the late 200s, I think, of the consensus board, the Michigan corner, number 12, I believe. Just the way these corners and linebackers and DBs and everybody from Michigan are able to disengage at the exact right time against the run or on screens, like, they're so well coached. So I don't know why he's so far back. He was, I forget which college he came from, but it was his only year at Michigan, and when he transferred, and it was like, it was only his only productive year. So maybe that's it, but I thought he was plenty good based on what I saw.
I did not know he transferred. I thought he was,
or I completely made that up.
He was from UMass. Wow.
What was UMass? Oh, I knew it. I didn't say it.
Wow. Very nice. Yeah. No, I haven't watched him, like, focused on him, but he's very consistent. He reminds me a lot of the USC corner from last year, who was like a 4th round pick and started for the Vikings a little bit. I forget his name.
Anyways. Didn't watch him. So
he was also not a transfer. I know Gavino and Alex Katzen also really like Kalen Carson from Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. There's a decent amount of hype out there for him. I have not gotten a chance to watch him yet, but he's on my list. So he's kind of like the next one for me that I need to get after.
Yeah, I think I've watched 12 or 13 corners, and I feel like I haven't made a dent.
Yeah.
At end, I've watched three, and I feel like I'm done. But
yeah, which is great, because there have been some really poor corner classes in the past. But this corner class has some good depth to it, for sure.
Yeah, this is nice.
All right. Well, yeah, that's the cornerback discussion. So I think we're all on the same page, or at least the two of us. Add two corners to this class, I think, would be a great fit for this team moving forward.
I agree.
All right. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. That's going to do it for us today. Like I mentioned, our free agency episode. No, still no fireworks. All right. Free agency episode tomorrow on the Chargers channel. Next week, it's all geared towards previewing free agency. So, you know, we're coming up on free agency talk here soon. I would assume we hear some roster cut news next week as well. Maybe by the end of this week would be fun to get after that. So a lot of fun times ahead for sure. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, leave us a rating review. All that good stuff is very helpful to us to continue to grow the show. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time. As always, bolt up.